podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We are joining you until 6 o'clock today. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can access that at DoubleT973.com or through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We have a Texas Tech men's basketball victory to talk about for the first time in 2023. Red Raiders win in Baton Rouge over the weekend, part of a successful Big 12 SEC challenge on the hardwood, as the Big 12 not only wins this year's challenge, but also secures an overall win in the challenge, as it is set to expire after this year. And I believe the Big 12 won five times with four losses and a tie. Three losses and a tie. Two ties. All right. Big 12 won. Bottom line. Important thing.
Really close.
Winners.
You know, I'm sitting here on a Monday, and I actually, Gus, I assume you did the same thing, skip lunch, because I was very excited about some Monday cheese weenies. In fact, there was a dollar on the line that it would or wouldn't happen. And I couldn't help but notice a lack of cheese weenies.
I made cheese weenies last night. I ate them all. No. I went to the grocery store yesterday morning for my weekly shop, and I bought some,
little Tupperware things.
Disposable kind of food containers. They're really nice, like a screw on top. Mm. And so before I even ate last night, I divvied up two portions in the cups, put it in the fridge.
And there they sit.
And I just totally forgot in my haste to get out. Because of the potential, just the weather or whatever, I totally forgot. I will take, just so that you know that I'm not BSing you, I will take a picture of them when I get home.
That's good.
Well, you know what they say, pictures taste better than words or whatever.
So I will bring them tomorrow. Clint has already busted my chops about this off the air, but now he's choosing to do it on the air, which is fine. I would do the same thing.
It seems like a lot of work for you to still owe me a dollar.
Yeah, I've sent myself an email ahead of time. I've scheduled an email to go out to me at 2 tomorrow, so I will not forget. I mean, heck, I could probably just leave them in my car overnight, right? It's going to be super cold.
Yeah, probably could. Right.
There's something about thinking day-old car cheese weenies that seems fitting.
It's probably colder outside than it would be in my fridge. Aren't fridges normally like 40 degrees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I mean,
so.
Do what you think is right. Whatever actually gets the cheese weenies here.
What I think is right now is to spit in the one that I'm going to give to you, is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Man, make sure you label that one.
Oh, man, I feel like Gus and I could really frustrate you after all that. We're like, we don't really want to try this.
Yeah, it's okay. when I take a lunch, which is usually early in the week, I put a empty, put it in the fridge, but then I put a empty bag, like I hang a bag over my rearview mirror, because I am famous for doing what you're doing, because it's just, you can't lay it out on the cabinet, or I'll put it with my backpack if it's something that's be refrigerated. And so I'm kind of like OCD about that. But, there was one time last week I brought some food that I was going to eat here and then go to the basketball game. Left it at the office, so it's hard to do without a reminder. It really is.
Thank you for your sympathy there. I appreciate that. You're being a true friend. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the dollar you're going to give me when you actually remember the dollar, too.
Hate you, Clint. The Red Raiders get a win. That was nice.
Yeah, it was.
You'd like to see, how they respond tonight with kind of that pressure off, right? Mm-hmm. That monkey off their back. You're not riding this extensive losing streak. I would guess at some point that kind of just becomes overwhelming, right? Just because, they're clearly trying. right? There's effort being put in. They're going to practice. They're going to the weight room. They're doing all these things, these right things. And for them to continuously come up with the wrong end of these things time after time after time, that's got to, you know, weigh on you.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
What's the longest losing streak you've had in sports?
It's probably in 1987, the year I usually reference when I'm talking about these sorts of things. But I could go back and look, but we were routinely getting our tails kicked. But it's just what you said. I think maybe there's a it reinforces a lot of things for a lot of folks in terms of, you know, believing in each other and believing in, you know, the process or whatever. And I would think that, a little bit of confidence. Kerwin Walton with a big game, and just several guys played well the other day. And then a quick turnaround, and it was a quick turnaround for Iowa State, and they even traveled. Now, Ames to Columbia is probably an hour flight, but still, road game for them on Saturday, and then probably flew down here yesterday. And so I think maybe our guys have a little sting, you know, like they got embarrassed by Iowa State. It's not, that wasn't a game that, oh man, you know, we just didn't make the plays down the stretch. No, got like smoked. And a lot of the doubt and stuff surrounding this team really took on some fuel coming out of that game. And so that ought to be. And you know what? Iowa State on the road's like 2-4 this year. So they're not, they're not unbeatable.
World beater, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, get after their tails tonight. Now, I'm sure that this weather and all the things aren't going to, it's probably not going to be a packed, active gym tonight. But, you know, that's just the way it goes.
You were on the 87 Red Raider baseball team, yes?
Yep.
Y'all lost 8 in a row.
Yeah, there you go.
Arkansas, swept by Arkansas at home, swept at home by Sol Ross State.
And that was brutal.
That's,
brutal.
4-9, 2-10, the two scores there, and then swept in Austin.
Yep, and, you're exactly right, and I was right in the middle of all that. And we actually played Arkansas tough once, like a, you know, lost a 3-1 type game, because most of the rest of that year was just getting our faces.
Yeah, lost 0-2 on Friday.
There you go. That's the game.
Right, and there. Then in the Saturday doubleheader, 6-8, and then the wheels came off in the final 0-9.
And that was, Arkansas was routinely a World Series type caliber team. I'm not saying they were that year, but they were, you know, they were really good, them and A&M and Texas. And, the one little thing we had was right there near the end was beating TCU. And so we didn't finish last. You know, we took 2 out of 3 from them, and we won both games of the doubleheader. And you know what else I remember about that? I got the walk-off hit in both of those games, if you can believe that. Literally. But I've showed you that. Well, it's like a couple of handshakes and a couple of high fives as opposed to getting coolers of ice dunked on my head. But I'm probably better off that way.
Had a 15-game winning streak the next year, I believe.
There you go.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. Time for some headlines. The Texas Tech Red Raider men's basketball team, fresh off of its first victory of 2023, will host 13th-ranked Iowa State tonight at the USA. Tip-off at 8 o'clock. Our pregame coverage will begin for you at 7 here on Double T 97.3. How about this? Kevin O'Banner enters tonight's game with, on his career, 1,998 points and 1,020 rebounds. He is just 2 points from reaching a fairly rare milestone in college basketball, 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds in a career. Only two other active players right now in college basketball have reached that milestone, and just 125 in all of college basketball, in the history of college basketball. Pretty cool there. It's pretty rare air.
Sure. He's getting a fifth year, and so some of those counter type stats like that are
sure
going to get a not really going to get an asterisk, but regardless, that's a heck of a good career, and he was very good at Oral Roberts, and he's been very good here.
The San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers have agreed to terms with Kellen Moore to be their new offensive coordinator. The move comes less than 24 hours after the Cowboys released a statement that said that Moore and the team had reached a mutual decision to part ways following an end-of-season review process.
Do you have a harder time with San Diego Chargers or Oakland Raiders?
For some reason, the Chargers, even though that move is older.
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten Oakland Raiders correct once in calling them Las Vegas off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good question. I have to think about that. I mean,
Guardians.
For a while back when I was a kid, they were the Los Angeles Raiders, or I shouldn't say kid, but like college guy. So, that one's been a little bit of a moving target over the years. But yeah, Los Angeles Chargers sounds weirder than something Raiders to me.
And then how about this? Former Washington quarterback, Sam Heward, ESPN's highest-ranked quarterback prospect in the 2021 recruiting class, will transfer to Cal Poly and reunite with his high school coach. He entered the portal on January 10th and announced his destination this morning in Seattle on a radio show co-hosted by his uncle, Brock Heward.
I'll be darned.
Cal Poly, how about that?
Yeah.
You too can join the program. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Just goes to show you, man, those quarterback rankings, crapshoot.
Well, that goes all the way up to the NFL. I mean, I kicked that around in the last week or two, just how those things can be insane misses. And then the mystery of the and most of the time it's this way, it's the whatever type one error, it's the first rounder that flames out, but occasionally there's the Brock Purdy's who are the seventh round pick that does well, and you go, how's that work? I mean, Tony Romo was drafted on down in the draft, as I recall. You just never know with that position. And millions, if not billions, of dollars have been spent on that. I mean, that's not like, it's just this esoteric little problem. Nobody cares about it. You're like, no.
There's a code that someone will crack.
Golly.
At some point. We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You still almost lost to the worst team in the SEC. That's true, but you won.
Sure.
But you won.
Yeah.
And they got beat by the worst team in the Big 12.
Yep, and that's the fun part about it. That just the idea that our team that hadn't won a game in our league went over there and waxed your team that's 1-1. I was glad that the results, our result, but B, the results of the day went the way they did, just because it reinforced everything we thought to be true in terms of this league, the Big 12.
Yeah, it really flexed its muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Oklahoma beating up on Alabama.
Yeah, number two in the country at the time, right?
That was very impressive. West Virginia beating Auburn. Granted, that was in Morgantown. But still, that's, the second worst team in the Big 12.
Well,
receiving votes now in the top 25 that came out today. Not in it, but I think that was right.
West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got the net ranking stuff that's going their way.
Oh yeah, they're 25th in the net.
Yeah, I mean
they're a tournament team right now, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. This league is bananas this year. I don't think there's any. To the texter, I don't think anyone's acting like it. Here, about to peel off 9 in a row. It'd be great, but string a couple of good things together, and maybe it'll help with just the all that we fear, which is the off season, and who leaves and if you know, there's probably some that you might want to leave, but there's probably a whole lot that you'd like to have hang around.
Speaking of the net rankings, and this was posted on Twitter over the weekend, I guess it was yesterday or late Saturday, because you and I had said that, hey, no matter who you win against the rest of the way out, it's your best win of the season.
I saw this.
Well, technically not true. No. At least according to the net rankings, because Eastern Washington is one spot ahead of LSU, 136 to 137 in the net rankings. And so now that was technically on Saturday your second best win.
Yeah, and so we have to sort of stick to our guns. The next game.
Yeah.
Well, the first Big 12
game. We just went the Big 12, yeah,
for
sure.
The first Big 12 game we win. Yep.
This and the EH Flooring Center chat line. Have you looked at the Big 12 standings lately? It's not like Tech is sitting at the top there. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, they are at the bottom as well. They're responding to the person pointing out that Tech almost lost LSU. Texter Gary chimes in and says, we tend to lose games after having big leads. Is that due to not having a Keenan Evans-type leader that will take the team on its back and carry them to the finish?
Yeah. It's hard to say. I mean, I think sometimes these traits are assigned to teams that just aren't very good. You know, it's, that team in 2018 was so courageous compared to this team. Well, that team had better players, you know. And so I think, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, Coach, the post-game conversation had to do with Coach Adams being appreciative of O'Banner and those guys grabbing the game and commanding it to the end and being the veterans and all that they are. But I think by his nature, O'Banner's quiet. Now, a quiet guy can set a good example and all, and we would never see that. And so we, as folks sitting in the stands, and I'm including me in that because I don't sit in the press box or anything, if you see somebody in the huddle shouting, they're like, yeah, that's a leader right there, you know, versus the quiet guy who may be the example that they're all following. You know, it's just those things.
It's hard to really just see that and then understand it. Like, you've got to be inside.
And it's not something that just reveals itself when you yell in a huddle, but more the day-in, day-out thing. I mean, I would sit here and tell you that Josh Young was an outstanding leader, but I wouldn't describe him as being this super vocal guy. He was certainly encouraging and stuff, but he wasn't rah-rah guy or butt-chewer guy and all that stuff when he played here. On the other hand, he was a very, very good player, and he was surrounded by good players. And so, I don't know. But Keenan Evans was an outstanding player, and by his senior year, that dude, his ability to go get a shot off and get in the lane and draw a foul and just – I mean, it was amazing how he would go in the – he would go in the lane, a couple 6'9" guys, and we're like, man, dude, they're about to feed you this basketball. And he'd get something off and flip it in or get fouled and get a call. You know, and we talked about that with Pop. There have been two or three times where he's gone in the lane late in the game and what we believed was get smoked. You know, the Kansas game down in Austin and didn't get calls. And it's like, well, Keenan got calls, but Keenan was also a senior by then. Probably more physical, probably a little bit better, certainly better than he was as a freshman. His freshman year, he might have got smoked as well. So I think, unfortunately, this team sort of is what it is, but hopefully there's some a little wind beneath their sails.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we've talked about in football, right, where you didn't have – kind of a margin for error guy that could take a 10-yard pass and then, you know, bust break one. A tackle and go 80 yards. Keenan Evans was that, right? He was a momentum shifter by
himself.
Yeah,
at the end.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. Aaron, we're joining today until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. for the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. This from our friend Tracy in Dallas. Hey, boys, what is our hoops roster looking like for the Iowa State game, specifically Pop and the big man? I do not think that you'll see Pop Isaac tonight against Iowa State. And I would be surprised if you saw Fardaz Amak against the Cyclone. So I would guess that you have the same roster more or less available tonight as you did on Saturday.
Yeah, no argument for me on that. I would imagine Pops. I mean, the good news is that we haven't heard anything saying anything definitive about Pop. Because I think if there was anything definitive about him, it would probably be, hey, he's done for the year. We're shutting him down.
Right.
So I would imagine that there's some hope that he returns. My guess is, I mean, that took place, what, 6 days ago, right? Wasn't it Tuesday?
Yes.
So seems like a while ago, sure. But I would, you know, it sure seemed like he got that thing pretty good. Now, you know, what do we know? But I would guess that we're probably waiting a couple more weeks on him. And if Fardaw's deal was a stress type thing or an aggravation of the stress type thing that he was dealing with, and that's what it sounds like, same foot, you know, we didn't see him roll it and hobbling off the court or anything, I'm sure that's, you know, that's not going to be something they're going to rush him back from, and why would they?
This in the chat line from our friend Raiders Dead, who says, Kansas also almost lost to the worst team in the Big 12. Not that KU is any good or anything, just saying. Good. It's a good point. It's a very good point. This in the chat line, somebody says, speaking of 2,000 points, AD Tegan Fielder of New Home hit the mark on Friday against Sundown. Congratulations to him and his team. He's an LSU commit. How about that?
Nice.
Bill says, my thoughts are with the basketball team. My thought is they need more strength and conditioning. They seem to run out of gas in about the last 8 minutes. One else says, our fans' obsession with Mark Adams crossing his arms is odd. I don't think it's really that odd. I'm not saying that it's a valid thing to kind of like
concern yourself with.
Yeah. Right, get triggered by. But I think that anytime your team is struggling, you're going to pick on something. You're going to kind of hyper-focus in on something with the coach or whoever it is you think is the problem, whether it's a defensive coordinator, the quarterback, or the owner, or the, I mean, whatever it is. And, you know, you don't like the way that they comb their hair, or they have webbed feet, or they scream at the refs, or they cross their arms, or they don't scream at the refs, or they sit down on a stool, if you know, Bob Huggins. Whatever it is, there's this kind of like mob focus on one deal. It's just kind of part of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's fairly typical that folks find something. It's just like the idea that talked about earlier, that there's not somebody in the huddle barking and screaming and yelling when things don't go right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a body language thing that folks have sort of zeroed in on, and it is what it is. What was the start of that text message?
Our fans' obsession with Mark Adams?
Yeah, maybe the one right before.
Strength and conditioning?
Oh, yeah. I think it's well established that Coach Darby is as good as they come, like highly respected in the game. And so, to your point, I think that when teams get pushed around, we used to hear this a lot during Cliff's time. Strength and conditioning not very good. That defense just isn't very good. You know, those players are getting pushed around because A, there's no depth, and B, they're not very good. And so once any level of fatigue comes in, they're getting pushed around. Nobody was saying the strength and conditioning wasn't good this time last year because it was a brick wall defensively. You know what I mean?
For the basketball team.
Yeah. And I mean, I respectfully completely disagree with the texture in that regard just because it's you know, that we lose games down the stretch. You know, the free throw, you know, dudes choking off free throws at the end of the game in a close game has nothing to do with conditioning, in my opinion. but at least not with regard to this group. And again, if we're trying out a new strength coach, trying something different, but what he did last year was a pretty good indication of what he was. You know, we're young. We're probably not as physically developed as we need to be, you know, and probably not that good. I mean, we've got these guys over here that are good defensively that we believe in, these guys over here that were good offensively, and, you know, basketball is not a game that really lends itself to subbing in, subbing out, although down the stretch the other day we did a whole lot of that, and I just think we are what we are this year.
I can also attest to what Dickens was saying about the you just start finding things.
Sure.
In the midst of what was really the full downfall of one Kansas football program with Charlie Weiss at the helm, there was a big fascination of why can't he blow his nose and why do we keep zooming in on his runny nostrils and how many millions is he making off of this awful football program and he can't afford a Kleenex? Like, that was a real thing. It wasn't.
And that was over a decade ago. Yeah, and he's still bitter about it.
It still bothers me. It was like, it wasn't, hey, can we get these receivers in open space? Can we actually block for the running backs? Can we have a scheme that remotely works? It was the main focus from the
program.
Why
is he looking
like,
snot up top of his lip?
Why does he look like a toddler right now?
I had forgotten about that, but I can vividly remember that in my, like, I can picture that in my mind's eye right now.
It's disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
This is why Kansas City had him in the booth the year before, so he was away from the elements.
Somebody says this. Good point, AD. I was hyper-focused on Jason Garrett's clapping on the sidelines. Yeah, it's a good example.
Yeah.
This in the chat line from Tracy and Dallas. Yeah, boys, with the reality of the season settling in, how do you think the crowd at home will respond tonight?
I don't think it'll be a great crowd tonight for a variety of reasons. 8 p.m. Monday night doesn't help, but this weather will drive a lot of folks away, and so yeah, it's not gonna be good. I think there's a lot of aspects conspiring to affect tonight's crowd, most notably this weather.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes.
Love to hear your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We are hopefully just one day away from getting a Big 12 football schedule. I mean, I really just can't. What has given me pause, though, is that there's been no kind of heads up, right? I mean, the ACC promoted like a week ago, hey, we're releasing our schedule on the 30th.
Right. Pac-12 did too.
Exactly. And yet,
we're just going to release
here
ours.
Here we are.
Like, we're just going to release
ours. You're just
going to
spring
like
it on everybody?
An update to the standings. Oh, it's Tuesday. Here's our media notes.
So,
Joe Blow is third in the country.
I mean, I guess it's possible. So, the Big 12 is contractually obligated to provide a schedule to its TV partners by February 1st. I guess that means it doesn't have to be released publicly.
That's true.
I mean, maybe. Crazy. Like, yeah. I just can't imagine the Big, and I want them to. Like, I want them to do this. I'm pulling for this. But I just can't imagine they're just going to, like, drop it, you know, unceremoniously 3 o'clock on Twitter. You know? Like, that doesn't seem like this Big 12.
Well, you guys wanted that, like, on social media? Oh, we've had this for, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, we had this posted up in our break room.
Are you using that under a fridge or under a magnet on the fridge just hanging there? Oh, yeah. We've had this ready for, like, 2 months.
Just no one asked. So, we'll see. I really hope we get a schedule. I'm going to be very sad tomorrow if we don't. Yeah, I'll be very sad.
Me too. I want my second dollar.
Yeah.
I would love my dollar count to be up to 3.
So, how is the wager affected if his flights get canceled and he ends up doing the show
if
on Wednesday?
If he can talk about it, I get a dollar. That's all I know.
All right. I need to call in on...
Just got to lock him out of the building is all. That's all I got to do.
Why not just ring the phone? Why not just call? In fact, I'll call right now. Let's make sure the phone's working here.
There's no way the phones work.
Oh, wow.
We got rid of those things.
Clint, is the phone ringing? There it goes, see? So Wednesday.
You know what, though?
Wednesday I can
Clint
call
Clint will be in here on Wednesday. I just have to get to the person running the...
Nice.
Oh, man. Never mind. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. How you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're with you today until 6. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. You can also weigh in through the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. The Super Bowl is set. Chiefs and Eagles. You have a pair of Red Raiders that will be facing off. You've got Patrick Mahomes and also Zach McPherson for the Eagles. So either way, Red Raiders guaranteed to get a player with a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, and what a contrast in games yesterday. One ended up being almost over before it was, shortly after it started, and in the way the Eagles put it on the 49ers and really pushed them around in a way that if you'd have told me, hey, they're going to beat them, okay, you know, high-scoring game, low-scoring game, this, that, but shoving them all over the field, because the 49ers don't have that happen to them. One of the things that they, I think, that they really are is good up front. And, I think the Eagles, threw 20-something passes? Now, that game script helped with that, but they were having so much success running the ball, they just kept, one of those late drives at the end, I think the field goal drive to go up 31-7 was like a 13-play drive, and it was 13 rushes, I think.
Did it surprise you how much they were running Jalen Hurts late in that game?
Yeah, they did.
Thankfully nothing, I guess thankfully for the Eagles, nothing, bad happened, but, they were down to no quarterbacks.
Right.
They're up by 3 scores, I think. The Niners had done nothing to suggest that they can move the ball consistently and let alone score, with their hobbled quarterback position with Purdy kind of going back in but not really able to throw much at all. And you're sitting there running Hurts? I just don't – that made no sense to me.
I get pulling one every once in a while and taking off, and if you're about to get contact, slide and call it good. But, yeah. And I don't know if – it's easy for me to sit here and talk about that in terms of just letting him go get tackled, let him go get hit, do the hitting, whatever, prove to himself the shoulder's okay. But if something had happened right there, oh my gosh, you'd be kicking yourself forever. He's a big physical dude, but yeah, that was especially at that point that you're talking about, 28-7 31-7, man. And then you contrast that game with obviously the Chiefs game last night, which, that game was just as tense as it gets, minus being an overtime game, which the Chiefs have done twice in the, and since Pat's been a starter, AFC championship games that go to OT. But, boy, that was, he and Joe Burrow, those two, they're, a year apart, I think that's right, a year apart. At least in terms of their NFL experience, doesn't that look like something that's going to be cool to watch for another 10 years?
Yeah,
my goodness, those two are good. Cool as a cucumber, both of them. And Pat's got some legacy riding on it right now, just in terms of playing through the injury last week, and then again last night, gimping around a little bit, and then making those plays down the stretch. I tell you, we've talked about the running back position being one of those spots that you don't, that doesn't lend itself to going high in the draft. And the Chiefs are getting a ton of mileage out of that tough little running back from Rutgers. And think about the play that he made. He took a little dump-off pass from Mahomes and looked like it was going to be another 5-yard gain and ran through 2 or 3 tackles and got a 15-20-yard gain out of it, maybe, and set up that final drive, and then Pat's playing, running out of bounds and getting hit late and all that stuff. But yeah, they're getting some mileage out of that tough little dude, and that guy is a bundle of energy.
The Chiefs had 6 rookies last night.
Yeah,
make impact plays between Pacheco, Sky Moore,
the DBs.
Karlaftis got a sack, and then 3 defensive backs. Either were a part of an interception or had an interception or caused the interception, like Cook.
Yeah, because Snead went out early. Second series, whatever that was. And so, The shame of that was they were dangerously close to getting beat simply because they were just out, man. Like, you didn't, you know, I'm sitting there going, this thing didn't need to go to overtime. Because, I mean, like, Pat didn't have weapons on the field at the end. You know, and they were able to, I assume, you know, shift coverages to Kelce and Schuster, you know, isn't that right? When it Schuster, the other one that was?
Yeah, Tony and Schuster go out, and it was double up on Kelce and then start. It took him a little bit, but by the fourth quarter, because Valdez Scantling was having the best game of his career. Yep. And then they said, okay, well, if we just double team both of them, who are you going to throw to? Well, Marcus Kemp.
Right, and then you start looking at backup tight ends or second and third tight ends, and Kemp did make the play. You know, Kemp did catch a 15-yard pass, and I actually had flipped it over to the Chiefs radio post-game thing just to hear if they did any more, like, press conference-type coverage and stuff. And a couple of the analysts were saying, hey, if you had Marcus Kemp catching a catch for whatever it was, 13, 14, 15 yards on the final drive maybe, or late in the fourth quarter or whatever, then, you know, go to Vegas.
I think it was the second to last drive that he had his catch on.
Yeah, and, it, you know, like, I mean, because they were down to, maybe, you know, it seemed like to me that we had announcers like looking at the program going, okay, number 88, oh, all right, that's 14.
Yeah, not on my spotting board.
Yes, like... And the other cool thing is, and obviously we're going to remember it from how the perspective of Pat making the play and the key late hit over there and all that. But that defense won that game yesterday. My goodness, the game Chris Jones had. Oof.
It's been interesting to kind of follow the point spread for the Super Bowl. I saw that it opened at Chiefs -2.5 and then quickly moved to Eagles. -2.5
Wow. Yeah, and they're talking Brock Purdy, possible UCL injury. So, that happened immediately. And so, you know, fast forward to another offseason of sort of QB drama, I guess. I think Jimmy G's free agent, and I would assume he moves on. But Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, how do you pick between those? Now, the good news is they don't really have to because they're both on rookie contracts. But I would assume it's the perfect time to let Jimmy G spin off.
Yeah, so it's some speculation that you let Jimmy G walk, you trade Trey Lance to Tennessee or someplace else, and then you bring in Tom Brady as a free agent, and Purdy backs him up for a year.
Wow. Yeah, those are fun things.
Does Brock Purdy have staying power here? Because, I mean, let's not forget. Let's go back to the Big 12 football, right? How awesome did Blake Shapen look like the last couple few games of the 2021 season, right? You won the Big 12. They won their bowl game. You're thinking, man, this guy is going to run this league. And then it kind of turned into a pumpkin last year.
Yeah, you kind of look at it and go, that surrounding cast might have been fueling his success.
Up.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's you never know, and that's why I don't know that I'm trading Trey Lance just yet. You know, I think I may want those two young dudes dueling it out for another year. Who knows? But yeah, some insurance with the Brady thing's interesting too, because he's a Bay Area kid or a Northern California kid, or old man. He was a kid in that part of the state, I believe. Grew up a 49ers fan, so that would have some poetry attached to it, I guess.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Josh Allen has a UCL injury. Let's not act like that means what it does for a baseball player.
Nope.
It's different.
Nope, that's right. Although if it's detached, it may be a problem. I mean, if it's a sprain or something, yes. If it's not there, if that thing got hit and destroyed last night, I mean, got destroyed during the hit, it may be a problem.
Well, whatever it ends up being, like, clearly that affected his ability to throw the ball.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I mean, you have different stages depending on what injury it is, too. And, yeah, Josh Allen had an injury with that label, but it's obviously not the same one, because Josh Allen could throw the ball. Purdy could not.
And I think the I assume the rehab for a football quarterback would be less than a baseball pitcher.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there. How you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. Would love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Alabama has a vacancy at offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
They've apparently met with Ryan Grubb, who is the current offensive coordinator of the Washington Huskies. That'll be an interesting hire there for Alabama. This in the chat line. Bobby Hot Dog says, Brock Purdy equals Matt Flynn. Man, that guy got paid for, like, no good reason.
Yeah. Had a little flurry. Looked like the next big thing, and yeesh.
How much did he make?
Like $20 million, wasn't it?
It was
like $20 a year for 4 years or something. Maybe way off.
Career earnings for Matthew Flynn. Okay, it was like $20 million. That's not nearly as much as I thought. Still, it's a lot to me. This in the chat line, Dickens, you think Adams is still the right person for the job? No, I don't. I said that on Friday. And as happy as I was to see the win on Saturday, and as much as I want to see a win tonight, that's not going to change my opinion. This in the chat line, with all this weather, you would think it's baseball season. I mean, it'll be 2 weeks from on Friday.
Yep, 2.5 weeks. And they were getting after it this weekend. They practiced in that cold yesterday. You know, and it was 30, I think, 6 when I left that scrimmage and got in the car. It was cold. But they, it's the wet stuff that's and the sub 30 degree stuff that probably the edge of the temperature, the edge of the temperature is probably somewhere, you know, below the high 30s in terms of really being willing to get out there. And of course, it wasn't very windy yesterday, but still it was rough. But yeah. And we're keeping the first pitch luncheon tomorrow. We looked at maybe moving it to Wednesday, but that's not happening. So if you've got first pitch luncheon tickets, get over there. Drive carefully tomorrow. It sounds like Wednesday will still perhaps be below freezing around 11, 11:30, 12 o'clock when you would be driving down there, and it's going to be wetter. So, and that I actually consulted with a meteorologist friend of ours to get that, like, okay, pretend you're me.
Right.
So, yeah, don't let any rumors get started. First pitch luncheon tomorrow. All the tickets are out, not selling anymore. For God's sake, you had an extra week to buy one because we moved it back from last Tuesday to this Tuesday. So, food count turned in, ready to go.
That was Josh pretty Young cool.
In place.
Of Al Roker to fill us in on the weather deal.
Yeah, that was cool. He, you know, shot him a text and he replied to me about 15 minutes later with a complete breakdown of Lubbock's weather.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, AD start bench cut, Clint Scott, Chuck Hines, Rob Verbey. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you start Verbey, you bench Hines, and you cut Clint. Yeah, easy.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really would have been stupid to do any other order.
Yeah.
Start, bent, cutch, the $3 you will have owed me.
That's why you're getting cut.
You keep the one.
Yeah, the cap savings is
that's
why.
That's right.
You know? Important Pac-12 meeting going on right now in Tempe, Arizona. The Pac-12 board is meeting. And TV deal thought to be on the docket, and also expansion thought to be on the docket.
Yeah, I would imagine the two are intertwined.
Yeah, you would sure think.
Hard to have one conversation and not the other. Who knows? this time to this time tomorrow or this time next week, SMU might be considering mulling their offer to join the Pac-12, because you know that would give the Pac-12 a footprint in Dallas-Fort Worth.
That's a as much as we would and will dunk on this if it happens. That's a no-brainer move for SMU, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would think so.
Although they run the risk of they'll be cashing checks, but it's not like SMU is just, you know, really hurting for money. That's not
right.
That's not some kind of like, you know, broke down community college on the hilltop. But they run the risk of why is this thing not pasting? Of being the Pac-12's equivalent of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Meaning this kind of far outpost where now everyone that visits you is going a ways, but every road trip that you make is going to be long or longer.
I mean, the shortest would be Phoenix and Denver to Dallas. I mean, everyone will have a nonstop flight there, I guess, but in terms of any sort of commercial, although they don't make these decisions built on the convenience to the tennis teams. But yeah, I very much so. And I don't know that, I mean, and let's think about it this way. If the Pac-12, or excuse me, the Big Ten, a few years from now says, hey, come on over, Washington and Oregon, and then that league faces collapse, you know, if the Big 12 were to say, all right, we're making our move on the Four Corners thing, and this is firing up August conversations. I mean, SMU's probably still in a pretty good position relative to where they are now. They could probably just go right back into that league and be fine, or stay in the remnants of the Pac-12. But it's not like that's you're moving into the picture of stability there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. The latest numbers, there was some talk, you know, around the time that the Big 12 deal was first reported on. It still has not been officially announced yet, which is a little bit odd. But, you know, the folks on the West Coast were saying, the Pac-12 feels like they can beat that number on a per team basis. And the latest reporting is that that's not likely going to happen. They'll come close, right? They won't be just like miles away, but they will fall under what the Big 12 makes, and that's it almost cuts twice, because not only will they make less than the Big 12 on a per team basis, but they'll also have less exposure, right? Yeah. They'll be on broadcast networks less. It does seem like they don't want to go all streaming.
Mm-hmm.
I think their thought process is that would be just a disaster. It's still too early to do that. But where are you going to go? And who's going to pay you for it? They have no leverage, has basically been the reporting from the last few days.
I mean, their only appeal there, once you get past just the Oregon and Washington thing, is that last time zone. But, man, that's but leverage is the right word, just in terms they don't have a bunch of folks bidding on them.
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Raiders Dad. In true AD fashion, it's sub 30 degrees outside, significant freezing precip. I drove to my remote work location, none the wiser, wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a light jacket. Glad I didn't get stranded on the side of the road.
Yeah.
No. I'm rocking the shorts and flip-flops today for sure.
Yeah, be careful out there.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.